On Friday, January 2nd, there was a post on the ABA Rare Bird Alert on Facebook that an adult ivory gull had been seen down in Quincy, Illinois, over 650 miles away. Hour after hour throughout the weekend and then every day the following week, people added photos and jubilant posts to the Rare Bird Alert. By Friday the 9th, my frustration level was at the boiling point. Only 2 weeks earlier, I'd chosen not to drive a mere 50 miles from New York City to see two potential lifers, pink-footed and barnacle goose. What was the difference? I'd been fixated on the ivory gull since first looking through my field guides in 1974. Then on Friday afternoon, one of my birding acquaintances from the Twin Cities, Tony Lau, posted on the Minnesota birding page that he was interested in driving down to Quincy at about 5 o'clock the next morning and wondered if anyone wanted to carpool. He was hoping to make the trip in one day. Even as I impulsively emailed him right back, my brain was calculating the 155 miles in my car to Otsego I'd have to leave by 2:30 to get to his place in time for us to start on the 532-mile trip to Quincy. Tony's round trip would be 1,064 miles, a long day not even counting birding time, and my trip would be 1,374 miles. I have a personal rule about chasing rare birds. I hardly ever do it at all. But when I do, I need to be sure the experience of traveling and looking for the bird will be reasonably satisfying, even if I don't see it. It's always a crapshoot. If you absolutely must see a particular bird, you're wisest visiting a zoo. The hope of seeing a new bird provides the motivation to get going, but if that hope morphs into need or expectation, you're doomed. The delight of finding it is lost when you expect it, and the disappointment if you miss it is worse. Some birders do have a sense of entitlement about seeing every good bird, but most of us accept the risks of chasing like a good poker player. And if you like seeing all the other birds along the way, you win either way. From the start, this particular chase looked like a good idea. Tony's a nice guy, so I knew I'd be in good company, and since it was only the second week in January, I knew I'd be seeing plenty of new birds for my 2015 list, including some I'd not likely see anytime soon in northern Minnesota. Because we came up with this plan late Friday afternoon, I didn't have time to think much about it before heading to bed early, my alarm clock set for 2 a.m. My drive to the cities in the dark was uneventful and utterly devoid of bird life. When Tony and I got on the road just after 5, it was still too dark to see any birds until we'd reached the Iowa border. We saw a flock of snow buntings mixed with other birds, either longspurs or larks, but I didn't get a good enough look to be certain. We saw lots and lots of bald eagles and our first American kestrel, too. We added another in Missouri. I was trying not to jinx us by checking Facebook on my phone, but when I finally checked the postings at mid-morning, the news was not good. No one had found it yet, though at least 200 birders from all over the country were searching. We made it to Quincy around noon and birded every spot we'd read about, checking Facebook every few minutes to see if anyone else had found it. At one spot, by a marina on a small island where people were staring out so hopefully, we took a short walk to a brushy area where we saw white-throated fox and song sparrows, along with several Eurasian tree sparrows. I was thrilled. This was the first time I ever saw them in Illinois. We kept scanning for gulls and going back to good spots and checking Facebook in case anyone else had seen it, but no such luck. Birders had seen the last of the Quincy, Illinois ivory gull the day before. We had dinner before we cut out and drove and drove and drove back to Tony's place, getting there just after 2 a.m. I slept on his sofa and drove the rest of the way home Sunday morning, adding a pheasant and a couple of rough-legged hawks to my year list on the drive. In one day, I doubled my 2015 list, added Eurasian tree sparrow to my Illinois list, and spent several hours in exactly the places where for over a week an ivory gull had flown and rested and fed. During those few hours, I may have been breathing in some molecules of air that ivory gull had breathed out. If I'm lucky, someday I'll have another chance to chase an ivory gull. But I'm sure glad I at least tried to see this one. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.